From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. People in the La Crosse area have a chance to go back in time tonight, actually thousands of years, to learn more about Native Americans who first inhabited the Upper Midwest. The Myrick Hixon Eco Park is holding a presentation at its Eco Park Center in Myrick Park from 7 to 9 tonight. The presentation is titled Ancient Environments of the Upper Midwest. Dr. Connie Arzigian is the laboratory director at Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center at UW-La Crosse. She'll give some insight to what life was like 13,000 years ago in this area. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked with Arzigian about what life was like long ago and the future of exploring past civilizations.
Well, the Upper Midwest would be Wisconsin, Minnesota, getting into a little bit of Iowa, northern Illinois. It's going to be the area, the upper Mississippi drainage, before you get out into the plains, so this upper woodland area and the transition onto the plains to our west.
The research dates back 13,000 years.
Right.
Why 13,000 years?
Well, that's the age of the oldest archaeological evidence that we have, basically, in the North American continent. The first archaeological manifestations we have is what's called the Clovis period, with Clovis points, projectile points that have a very distinct flute to them. And they have been found literally across the North American continent. And we have them well represented here in Wisconsin, particularly in a number of sites in Jackson County. And they've been radiocarbon dated across the continent at the end to the end of the Ice Age, which now puts us back about 13,000 years.
Do we think civilization around here dates back longer than that?
That's the oldest good evidence we have. We're always looking for that older phenomenon, but we haven't found it yet.
What contributes to the fact that it's harder to find older data? Is it the fact that we lived through the Ice Age? And that, I think, dates back about 15,000 years.
Well, we're at looking at 13,000, we are at the end of the Ice Age. The Ice Age would still have been in place, so there still would have been glaciers over good portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota. So the people were here while the ice was still here, and we were still dealing with megafauna. People were hunting mastodon and mammoth and extinct bison and all the other animals in the area. But one of the Some of the reasons that it makes it difficult, first of all, it's very old, so there's been so many cultures since then that have disturbed the same landscape. But also the way the landscape looks is very different. Now we look out and we see large grass prairies and woodlands. At the end of the Ice Ages, we've been a very different, have been closer to a tundra environment. So not as many trees. The waterways would have been much more rapid flowing. The Mississippi would have been huge. It would have been a very large waterway. The Minnesota River would have been a very large place draining the glaciers. So the places where the people would have been living may have been under some of these areas now that were later disturbed by the water, or they could have been in places that we're not expecting because the landscape looked a little bit different.
Where did Native Americans come from?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that, and our best bet at this point is that they came over into North America from northeastern Asia, from the Siberian area. And the most common argument would be that they came into Alaska across the Bering Strait, and then around about 14,000, 13,000 years ago, at the time that we have this Clovis culture, they came into the lower 48 states. And then rapidly spread out across the continent. They would have been the first humans in the area, so it would have been a place open for colonization. And animals would have been not expecting humans. They wouldn't have known of humans as predators. We're not that particularly impressive animals. So it would have been an easy place for them to spread.
And was the Upper Midwest one of the first areas that they spread to?
This would have been one of the places. The dates here, as best we can tell, are very close to the dates in the rest of the continent. Within about 500 years, people colonized this continent.
Why did they come to this area? What was appealing about this area to them?
The Upper Midwest would have had, besides the major rivers, the Minnesota and the Wisconsin and the Mississippi rivers, would have been important routes of communication. Anybody further south would have been able to get up by following some of these rivers, but it would have been an area that would have had this ecotone between woodlands and the tundra environments or the plains environments. So there'd have been a little mixture of all different kinds of habitats, lots of different resources.
How did the Native Americans survive when they first got here, and how did their civilization develop over time?
Well, when they first came here, you have to appreciate that this was a very cold environment. And if you think about living in Wisconsin without your down jacket, it's a challenge. But that's what they have been adapting to, these kinds of periglacial habitats, for tens of thousands of years, where they were coming from and where they'd been living. So they probably took it right in stride. And we know that they have been using some of the different animal hides as clothing and as shelters. They would have been following many of the herds of animals in order to get the meat that they were using. And one of the reasons they came to Wisconsin in particular, up until the Jackson County area by Hickson, there's an important source of a very good stone that they really liked. And we see some of the very first people coming there to acquire it. And they're probably coming back there year after year. That may have been one of their meeting places. If you're going to have groups of people spread out across a large area, you want them to gather at some point. And they probably did that there.
What are some of the better artifacts we have that help tell the story of those first Native Americans who were in this region?
Well, one of the nice things about working in this area is that we have people who will come in with things that they're excited about. And we've had a number of people bring in mastodon teeth and mammoth teeth and even other bones of some of these megafauna. And they're really very large and impressive animals. So we know the people were here. We know those animals were here. We know the people were here. And then we find these projectile points that date to that same time period. And we find all the other kinds of tools, all of the scrapers and the knives and the drills and the other kinds of tools that they were using to get their food, to prepare their hides and so forth.
You'd made a little bit of mention of this before, but how did the land compare to today's landscape from 13,000 years ago?
Well, we're going to look back at that time. We've got the glaciers up in northern Wisconsin and in eastern Wisconsin. And so we've got an environment here that would have had a lot of conifers. It would have had the same sun coming in the same direction. So it wouldn't have been quite the equivalent of going up to far northern Alaska, where the sun may shine for 24 hours a day. We wouldn't have had that here, but we would have had the same kind of landscape, the conifers, the much smaller vegetation, not a whole lot of fruits and vegetables at that point.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Dr. Connie Arzigian, the laboratory director and a research archaeologist with the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center at UW-La Crosse. She'll be giving some insight about the ancient environments of the Mississippi River Basin at a special event tonight from 7 to 9 at the Myrick Hickson Eco Park in La Crosse. What are some of the significant archaeological sites that have been discovered in this area that you use to help tell the story of what life was like 13,000 years ago?
Well, we have, as I say, in Jackson County, we've got the site of Silver Mound, which is a very important place that people came to for thousands of years. We also have a number of rock shelters in the area, a number of which are open for the public. At Natural Bridge State Park, there's a rock shelter called Raddatz Rock Shelter that doesn't go back quite to the end of the Ice Age, but it starts pretty early after that, where people came and they were moving around the landscape. They would go to rivers and live along some of the broader floodplains during the summer, but then in the winters when it was cold, they would go back and find these rock shelters and stay there during the winter. And some of these places will have layer after layer of archaeological sites that just tell us the story of how people were living. We get all the way up to the time of contact, and the La Crosse area in particular is really rich in our late prehistoric archaeological cultures. Archaeologists call the culture Oneota, and these would have been the first farmers in Wisconsin, and their village sites are all over the La Crosse and Onalaska and Holman Terraces.
Why is Jackson County, why is that a good location? Is that just a site that's, for the most part, been undisturbed?
Well, what the key about Silver Mound is that it's the source of a raw material. So it's actually the outcropping of a material called a silicified sandstone. It's a very hard material, and it's a very fine-grained material that was perfect for making the stone tools. And it's hard to find otherwise in many places. The highest quality material would have been choice. This would have been something that people would have traded for and looked for and searched for. So when they found a good outcropping of it, they came back to it.
One of the better places in the country,
yes,
for that type of material?
Yes. We find materials from Silver Mound traded across the northern part of the United States. They're in Ohio. They're out in Wyoming. They're down in southern Illinois. So they were trading it for hundreds of miles.
Is there a network of archaeological groups that are working to tell the story across the country?
There's a lot of different not-for-profit groups and then professional archaeology groups. So there are groups such as the Archaeological Conservancy that are actually trying to buy up and preserve sites so that they can protect these for the future. And then there are a number of groups like the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center here in La Crosse that work on both education and excavating these sites and protecting them.
And you all work very closely together, I would assume?
We try. There's depending on the different kinds of activities, but we're hosting one of the major regional conferences this fall here in La Crosse, the Midwest Archaeological Conference. So we'll have probably 500 archaeologists getting here to talk about archaeology for 3 days.
What do you do at conferences like that?
Everybody will give papers, or many people will give papers, and so they'll share the results of their recent research, so people will be able to find out what others are doing, and then the most important part of it is to talk to other people about what's happening, what they're thinking about, what their current concerns are, and what the direction of new ideas in archaeology should be.
Is there a lot more to discover?
I think so. Each time we think that we know everything, we find a site that changes all of our ideas, and we have to kind of go back. Each site builds on the next one. We know what we've got when we find a site and we find some material. We know what we have, but we don't always know how to interpret it. So the next site may give us a little missing piece of a puzzle.
And how do you go about discovering new things?
Well, a lot of it is fortuitous. So we may get an archaeological survey if we do a project for instance, the Department of Transportation. Before they can spend federal or state money on a project, there has to be an archaeological survey. So we may do a survey of a long corridor for a road. And in the process of doing that, we may find a number of archaeological sites. But we also find sites by just talking to local residents and landowners. What have you found on your property? And people will bring in artifacts that they have found that they will show us. And this is how we've actually found some of our most interesting sites.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Dr. Connie Arzigian, the laboratory director and a research archaeologist with the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center at UW-La Crosse. I know summer is your busy time.
Yes.
We were talking about that before. I assume it's a time you can get in the field and do all of your work. Could you give listeners just a sample of some of the projects you have going this summer in Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. The University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, the archaeological studies program there, is running a college field school up in Holman. So they're excavating one of these late prehistoric sites. We're also doing monitoring along a number of the road projects in the area that are going through some of these sites. So we're going to be out there to make sure that they don't damage anything important in the regions. So we've got actually crews out over a number of places to do these kinds of projects, highway projects, power line transmission lines, trout streams, things like that.
I know at times you have the ability to shut these construction projects down, don't you? And
well,
is that a conflict, I guess, or have you come to find some sort of a common ground with those who do construction?
Well, we try not to shut down projects, and we usually don't. What we usually do is if there is something there that somebody encounters that they weren't expecting, we try to deal with it right at that point. And one of the ideas about having us out on a survey ahead of time is that we can find things. If there's a development going in, for instance, and there's an area that's particularly sensitive, we might suggest that that be the area that they make their green space. In a large housing development, there's usually many acres of open space, and we can just suggest places that would be better to avoid sites altogether rather than having to even worry about disturbing anything. So we try to work with them.
Do you have to keep your eye on these construction projects as they come up, and how do you get involved with them?
Well, most of them are part of the requirements for doing projects. Again, if there's federal or state money, they will be following different series of permits, DNR permits, DOT projects. All of these will mandate that we get involved on them.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the information that you'll be sharing tonight?
What we're going to do is talk about what the place looked like about 13,000 years ago, give some of the ideas of based on some of the pollen cores. And we don't have a lot of pollen cores in the La Crosse area, but in western Wisconsin, what may have been here, some of the different animals that would have been found here, and how people would have adapted. And we do have some good information on, again, places that people would have been drawn to, important sources of stone, places for water, transportation. And then how did that change? We know at the end of the Ice Age, things got warmer, but about 7,000 years ago, it actually got significantly warmer. Up in Unalaska, there were sand dunes. There were active migrating sand dunes. What you would expect to find out in the Southwest now were actually in this area, and they stabilized after that as the climate became a little bit cooler and moister and came closer to what we have today. But this area that we're living in is right at what we call the ecotone between the woodlands and the prairie. And about 7,000 years ago, the prairie was actually spreading into this area, and then it kind of migrated back. So we're going to be able to see through time how the woods and the prairie interfaced in this region, and then how people changed as they adapted to the area. They learned how to use all of the resources here. They learned how to get into all the different habitats. They moved around the landscape using a lot of deer, nuts, fruits, and berries. They became very successful at living in this habitat.
And some of the artifacts you'll be sharing?
I'll bring down some examples of our mastodon and mammoth that we have found here so that if anybody has one of those that they know about or they see somewhere, they can let us know because, like I say, this is how we have found some of them in the first place. Also, some examples of the different kinds of artifacts that go back for this full sequence, and then some pieces of pottery that have been found in the area. Pottery is only about 2,500 years old, so it's really a pretty new development.
Where are some other sites around here where people live?
There's almost every place that people live today, we find that there are archaeological sites. So, as I say, the La Crosse and Holman and Unalaska area is just full of archaeology. And we do have ancient sites here, too. So they would not have been as central points as Silver Mound, but they were certainly passing through this area and they were certainly living here, particularly on the edges of the Mississippi at the end of the Ice Age. So Perot State Park has a wonderful series of archaeological sites up there, but the Holman area, Unalaska, most of the major villages, if you get through the Kickapoo River Valley, has an incredible archaeological sites along almost the entire length, the Wisconsin River Valley. Any of the major river valleys, any of the major stream valleys will have attracted people throughout this time span.
Do you find that most people today are accepting of archaeology?
We try to help them see that this is a part of everybody's cultural heritage and that school kids love to know about these things and that we should be able to work together with anybody, that we're not trying to bar any land from development, just see that if there is something very, very important, that it can be protected, or if we can't keep some place from being developed, that we get the information from the sites. And that's usually what happens with highway corridors, for instance. They've got to build a road. They've got to do something for safety issues, for navigation. So we excavate the sites. We get the information. And that's also a way of recovering all of this. And it's a way that development goes forward.
I know a lot of people today think they're immortal, but in 13,000 years, chances are pretty good you and I aren't going to be here anyway.
That's right.
And the future archaeologists may look at back at us and try and discover something about us. Is that the thought process behind archaeology?
Well, certainly that's a part of it. What we're doing now is going to be studied by archaeologists in the future. Archaeology studies everything that is related to humans. So even things that happened 5 or 10 years ago will become important parts of the archaeological record. There are a number of people who specialize in historic archaeology. So the archaeology of the 1880s, you can understand that might be of great interest. But even getting into 1920s, 1930s, along the Wisconsin River, prior to the Dust Bowl era, there were a lot of occupations along there. What happened when these communities were not able to survive? They were abandoned. The flood control systems along the Wisconsin River submerged many of these communities. But there's a lot of archaeology being done on those original foundries, plants, and things like that. So yes, the people that we are today will be studied by archaeologists in the future. But one of the other things that's happening with some of these projects is that when we find material, if it's not going to be disturbed, often we're able to set it aside and protect it so that those archaeologists in the future, our great-great-great-grandchildren, will still have some of these ancient prehistoric sites left to preserve too.
Connie, could you talk a little bit about tonight and some of the specifics of when the event is and where it is?
Okay, it will be from 7 to 9 o'clock tonight at the Myrick Hickson Eco Park Center. So that's right on the marsh down by the Myrick Hickson Eco Park, and there's good parking there. It will... they're requesting a $10 donation for the Eco Park for some of the activities that they're working on. And it's part of the Eco Mind event. So I'll have some artifacts there and a slide presentation and plenty of time for questions.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I welcome people to come on down if they have artifacts that they would like somebody to look at and see if we can find another site. Feel free to do that.
Dr. Connie Arzigian is a research archaeologist with UW-La Crosse's Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center. She's giving a presentation on the ancient environments of the Upper Midwest. The discussion is tonight from 7 to 9 at Myrick Hickson Eco Park Center in La Crosse. She spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.